Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into this Oasis podcast. We have been in a series on resurrection, the power of resurrection. And to understand this, we have to look at Philippians chapter 3. And let's just begin Philippians chapter 3 and one verse that Paul said in verse 10. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, there's a whole lot in these two verses, but the one thing that we're going to focus on in this is the power of his resurrection. We can know the Lord, but that's not enough. There is a place of knowing him in the power of his resurrection. And in the first, podcast, we talked about that open grave, that open tomb, when the angel came down and moved the stone away, and Jesus walks out. And when he walked out of that tomb, there were two things that happened. The door was open for us to know him, and to know him in the power of his resurrection. Let me open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, your word declares in Ephesians chapter 1 that, Lord, that you would grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding would be opened, enlightened, to know the hope that's in the call of God, to know the wealth of your glory, of the inheritance that you have in the saints, and Lord, to know the exceeding greatness of your power that's to us as we believe. And Lord, that is the purpose of these podcasts. We want to know, to understand how to access that dunamis, that miracle dynamite power that is to us and as we believe, which you operated in Jesus when you raised him up from the dead, according to the operational energy of the manifested power of the strength that's inherent in you. Lord, I am asking that that power would come down upon me as I teach, upon my friends as they listen. And Lord, I'm just believing that resurrection is in operation as we look at the Word of God and as we move forward. Cause dead things to live again. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, 1 Kings chapter 17. We're just going to kind of have some Bible study on resurrection. And now, in our prior episode here, we went to the widow of Nain. And, there was three specific examples of Jesus raising the dead. The first was Jairus' daughter. She had just died. And then the widow of Nain, the boy had died. It wasn't dead for very long. They were on route to bury him. And then Lazarus. Lazarus was dead already 4 days. He had already been buried. And so you get to see with Jesus' ministry and the power of resurrection, he demonstrated, hey, I can raise the dead when they just die. I can raise the dead when they're on their way to be buried. And I can raise the dead once they are buried. And, oh, my goodness, I want to know Jesus. He's the resurrection and the life, right? Now, in 1 Kings chapter 17, powerful story. It's the story of Elijah. So let's begin with 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. So that's chapter 17 and verse 1. The Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, this is a very powerful declaration. Because he was declaring, I have a place that I'm in this ministry, and it stands before the Lord. Now, one way to get a little better understanding of this is when the angel Gabriel came and he told the priest John the Baptist's father, he said, you're going to have a baby. And he didn't believe him. And Gabriel said, I'm Gabriel, and I stand before the presence of the Almighty, Jehovah. And declaring such authority, meaning don't mess with what I just said because it's coming straight from the Lord. Well, that's what Elijah, he's operating in the same operation. He says, before whom I stand, meaning I've come here directly from the throne of God, and I'm telling you what the throne of God has said. Who? And then he says, there shall not be any rain or dew these years, but according to God's word. No, it doesn't say God's word. He said my word. So there was an authority that was placed down upon Elijah. Elijah knew it. It was going to be based upon his word. And he's standing here before the government of the nation, and he's declaring, I stand before God, and I'm delivering this word. Well, obviously, this made some people mad, and they wanted to kill him, right? And so the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, go away from here, turn eastward, hide yourself by the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. Now listen to this. It shall be that you shall drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, this is an operation of the gift of faith. And when you look at Elijah's life, though we would say it was a miraculous life, and in a general sense, that's very true, the power of God was in operation in this man's life. But the actual gift of the Holy Spirit was the gift of faith. So here he delivers the word. He's in this office of the Lord, delivers the word to the king. And then God says, you're going to have to go hide. I need you to go down to the brook. There's going to be water there. You're not going to have to worry about water. I'm going to supply the water. It's already flowing. And, you know, well, sometimes we're always looking for something miraculous, but it doesn't always have to be miraculous. Sometimes there's just operations in the natural realm, and they're fine. They take care of us. They meet a need, and so we're thankful for it. And, you know, it's like many years ago, I went to the junkyard, and I needed a part for a car. I found the same year model car. I found the part I needed, but then I realized I didn't have the tool to get the piece off, right? And as soon as I realized I don't have the tool, a man comes out of nowhere. Now, I hadn't seen anybody out in this junkyard, and all of a sudden, when I realize I need a tool, a man just shows up right into my bay, right where I am, and he had tools. And I said, hello, can you help me? And I mean, it was under 5 minutes, probably 3 minutes. The man used his tools, took the piece off of the crashed car, right? And I had my piece, and I was heading home. Now, I'm thinking, was that an angel? Because there was nobody out there, and why was it right when I realized I had a need, that man shows up right where I am? And so, you know, the way we are is, oh, that had to be an angel. Oh, the Lord sent his angel to help me, ever-present help in the time of trouble. Well, I don't know if it was an angel or not, and I don't care. Because what I needed was help. Whether it was an angel, whether it was a man, I walked out of the junkyard that day with what I needed, help, and I got help. And so if God needs to send an angel, he sends an angel. If he just directs a man, he directs a man. Either way, it is the Lord. It met the need, and we should be very, very thankful. Just overwhelmed. I don't care if it's an angel or a man. I got what I needed. I got help. And for that, I love the Lord and I worship the Lord. So let's always be careful about how supernatural we become, because there's a whole lot of things that are supernatural that really we discount because we look over them. We don't realize the touch of God that's in it all. And so here he says, you know, you're going to drink by the water. Don't worry about me supplying the water. The water's going to be there. Now, in Samson's case, he was thirsty. And so out of the jawbone of the ass or the donkey or whatever it was, comes water, and it satisfied him. Now, that was miraculous. That was supernatural. That was amazing. Okay. Moses hitting the rock. Supernatural, amazing. We love it, right? In this, he didn't have to do that. The water was there, but there was a different problem. There wasn't any food. So God says, Elijah, while you're there drinking water, I have commanded. Now, in this operation, the reason this is not a working of miracles is because that gift and operation comes through a man. That means Jesus walking on the water, the power of God was flowing through him to do the miraculous. In this case, Elijah was receiving the miraculous. He wasn't doing it. He was in a place of receiving it. And the keynote words here, it's the Lord saying, I have commanded. It wasn't Elijah commanding. It could have been, but it wasn't. It was the Lord commanding. All Elijah did was receive. He went and drank. And in the morning, these birds are flying in with, you know, Big Macs and cheeseburgers, or I don't know, bread and flesh. It sounds like a hamburger. And they fly off and he eats. That provision was under an operation of the gift of faith. Elijah didn't do it. God did it. He was receiving it. Why was he receiving it? He's in that office, in that place, and that happens to be the operation that was sustaining that office that he was in. Okay? So he went, did according to the word of the Lord, and of course the ravens came, they went, they fed him. Now, verse 9. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, verse 9, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman, where? There, the place I told you to go, to sustain you. There we have it again. The Lord says, it's my command. It's not your command, Elijah. You are receiving. And so he goes. Now, so he arose, he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. He called her, said, fetch me, I pray, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. As she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. She said, as the Lord thy God lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. So, okay, wait a minute. Let's slow down here. God said, I've commanded a widow. That widow knows nothing about this command. She's speaking a lot of truth, and she's speaking the finality of her life. I'm going to die, okay? And so, now watch this. This comes out of her heart. She's declaring the reality of her situation. Now, Elijah speaks. Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as you have said. But make me there a little cake first. Bring it to me afterwards. Make for you and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Now, This is the gift of faith as well. In this, Elijah doesn't say, well, I command and I'm... No, he doesn't say that. He says, thus says the Lord. The Lord has already spoken. I've commanded. So in this, he is just flowing with the operation of God's faith. God is already declaring his command. And so in that command comes the word of wisdom. This is how it's going to happen. And so look at this in verse 14. The barrel of meal, here's the word of wisdom, shall not, future tense. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail, future tense. Until a time period, meaning out into the future, there's a time period. So he is revealing the mind and the purpose of God, which is a word of God's wisdom, that is flowing with this command of the gift and operation of God's miraculous power, but it's the gift of faith. Elijah is the recipient. The lady, in her obedience, is the recipient. God is the one working. Oh, my goodness, isn't this amazing? I tell you, it just stirs me up to say, okay, Lord, wow, help me grasp this for my own life, because we're supposed to desire these things, right? And these are for the church. These are for the body of Christ. Verse 16, the barrel of meal did not waste, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Meaning, God commanded, all Elijah did was tell her what the Lord said. Okay? But it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, he fell sick. And the sickness, okay, was so bad that there was no breath in him. Now, I want you to think about this. We're talking about resurrection. All resurrection is technically to stand back up. That's really what it means in Hebrew. Or you could say to revive or revival. Most of the time, the concept is taking a dead person, right? And they come back alive, okay? Technically, in Hebrew, they stand back up. So there was no breath in this boy. Now, when we look at this, you have to go back to Genesis chapter 2, where it says that God formed man and he breathed into man the breath of life. Now, how beautiful the creation of man is. That breath comes from God. And it's sacred. You know, you, person listening, people listening, how sacred you are, how beautiful you are. And sometimes we go through things and we get these self images of ourselves, and they're poor, and we don't think much of ourselves, and people have helped us in how we think of ourselves, you know, telling us how stupid we are and ugly we are and fat we are and no good and dumb. That's just the devil. That breath that is on the inside of man came from God. And so here in this story, the breath was gone. He was gone. She said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Okay, she's got some interesting theology here. Just remember, she didn't have a Bible. Okay. He said, give me your son. He took him out of the bosom of the lady, carried him up to the loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. He cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? All right, this is Elijah. He didn't have Bibles either. He didn't have a Bible school education. Mightily used by God, but his doctrine wasn't very good. How do you know, Brother Eric? Well, Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. And you never saw Jesus going around taking breath out of people. He didn't do it. He raised the dead. He didn't take breath out of them. He put breath into them. So the point I'm getting to is, here's a man living in this office, and there's such power of God, such wonderful gifts and operations of God, supernatural. I mean, right? We sing it, "These are the days of Elijah," because we see how God used this guy. But his doctrine wasn't very good. He didn't have a lot of light into certain things. And that's all right. God's mercy was far greater than his doctrine. His heart was right. He wasn't proud. A lot of people, the real problem with people is not that they think wrong. It's when they get proud about thinking wrong. That's the problem. God knows we all need teaching. That's why he gives us the Holy Spirit to teach us, because he knows we need teaching. It's when you get proud in it and you really think that you're something because you think you know something, that's a problem. Elijah wasn't like that. Okay? God's mercy was far greater than his understanding of doctrine in this particular arena. He stretched himself upon the child three times, cried unto the Lord, and said, "O Lord my God, I pray that let this child's soul come back into the depth of who he is, that let his soul come back into the inward being of this child." Now, when we look at this, there's something powerful here. Why did Elijah lay on him three times? And you think, where did he get this sense to do this? Well, the young kid didn't have breath, so Elijah lies upon him. I think partly is that the image of man, the shadow of Elijah, of him completely, every fiber of that young man had the prophet, the anointing of this man of God laying down upon him. And I almost wonder if that's not how God created man, is that he laid down face to face upon him and then breathed upon him and man opened his eyes. I mean, there's a lot of, now I'm speculating, obviously, but there's some deep thoughts going on here of how did God breathe into us? And then why did he do this? And here's the other thing. It's not like Elijah had Bibles, but he knew that the spirit of this boy had left, had gone someplace else, and he was crying out to God, "God, bring his spirit back and put the spirit back into the very depth of who he is." Whoo, we're touching into something here. I'm telling you. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Now, the word revive is actually where we get resurrection. It was resurrection. And powerful. I just think you just sit back and you have to meditate on this, is that it wasn't a prayer of faith only. And a lot of times when we think about prayer, we think about faith. No, voice. God was listening to his voice. Now, faith has to be an operation, but don't underestimate voice. God created you with voice. When you know, people saw the throne of God, there was lightning and thunders and there were voices around the throne of God. God is a God of speech. He has a voice. He gives us voice. And there's a place before his throne where our voice is coming up and is heard worshiping. And when you're on the earth and you're singing to him, That is, that voice isn't just on the earth. It's going up into heaven itself, and it's powerful. It's anointed. It's mighty. It's wonderful. And here he is. He's praying, and God is hearing his what? Voice. Don't underestimate the power of your voice in your prayer and in your speaking. And in this case, God heard his voice. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, resurrection, that spirit came back into him, and that boy opened his eyes, and the whole situation was changed. Oh, I tell you what, we're in a wonderful series. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that resurrection is working in us. We receive it. We thank you for it. And Father, I want to thank you that dead areas are coming alive. I pray for my friends that they would just, their faith would begin to rise up and say, you know what? Areas of my life are going to change right now. I'm believing God to change situations. And Father, we say, let it be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, that's enough for now. Go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. That's foursmiles.com. There's more information there. Remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.